amazing Cultures to Parent support group are sponsoring this series of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. We offer support for families of children and young people with special educational needs in the Colchester area. To learn more and get in touch, please visit the MAYS website, themaysgroup.co.uk.
In this episode, we hear from Becca. Becca has a young son called Arthur, who has Down syndrome, and she talks about how she's trying to create reality through language, all about the awareness around Down syndrome, and how others can help her on this journey and ensure that we understand people better.
Okay, Becca, could you just start by telling us all about Arthur?
Absolutely. So Arthur is my son. He's wonderful. Actually, he was making me laugh this morning because he's got this new game, but I pull a face and then he pulls it back and then I pull another one and he pulls it back. And we just spent about half an hour pulling faces at each other in hysterics. So yes, Arthur's my son. He's 16 months old now. He's so joyful. He is curious. He's empathetic. He's fun. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. So Arthur, yeah, he's an absolute gift. He's also made me grow as a person. Arthur has got Down syndrome, which I didn't know at birth. And I realised that I had never met anyone with Down syndrome before I had Arthur. Mm. And when I got the diagnosis, I was really scared. I felt really fearful. And I felt like I felt like I'd been standing on the floor and the floor had been pulled out from under me. And I didn't want that option. I didn't want him to have Down syndrome. And what's been so incredible is that living with Arthur for just a little over a year, he's the most joy I could ever have in my life. He's so cool. And he's actually from a typically developing child. Yeah, maybe he doesn't meet his milestones as quickly, but he's no different. He's a human being that offers so much, just like every human being does. And I look back now to a year ago and I realize I've never met anyone with Down syndrome before.
Wow.
So I started to think, well, what's that about? Because if I've never met anyone, how can I have that judgment? And I thought I was really, you know, right on as a person. And the reality was I hadn't ever met anyone with Down syndrome. So where had that view come from? And then I started to look at all the outdated myths and stereotypes and perceptions around Down syndrome, and also started to look at how it's being drip fed to our society on a daily basis subconsciously, which is really dangerous, I think, this drip feed. And in that, I realized that no one means anything. Well, maybe some people do, but the majority of people in my world and my life and my community, in fact, all of them, I wouldn't even say the majority, I'd say all, celebrate Arthur, adore him, and no one would ever mean to say inaccurate and actually quite hurtful sometimes language, but they just say it because we all say it.
Do you think if we don't see something or understand something, we then kind of don't know about it, so we don't know what to say rather than being horrible?
Absolutely. And even little things like, I had a letter from the hospital a few months ago, and next to Arthur's Down syndrome, it had the word problem. So it had problem, Down syndrome, and then other condition, medical conditions. And I usually it says diagnosis, but this said problem. So I it was a different department. So I wrote to them and I said, well, what's this about? Because what I'm looking at is problem next to Arthur's Down syndrome. And Down syndrome is not his problem. It's who he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not a problem.
No.
And they were amazing. You know, they changed it instantly and said, we will change this. It's a template. But I think it's so significant. And that's in the medical profession. So I think it's on a daily basis, just everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to look at and address. And I think we can.
Yeah.
I know we can because my community already have. The reason I created and why I'm talking to you now is this campaign, Language Creates Reality.
Yeah.
It was in lockdown. And I realized that when I got into lockdown, me, Tom and Arthur were really happy together. And I felt really happy for the first time. And I thought, well, why am I so happy? I'm in lockdown. And I realized it's because I wasn't seeing society. So I wasn't having to every day buffer against something and think, do I correct it? Do I not? Do I have this confrontation? What to do? And it hurts. And sometimes at the beginning, I didn't correct, and I went home and talked to my partner and said, oh, this really hurt. And then as I got more used to it, I started to correct people, but sometimes people don't want to be corrected, even if I do it properly. Mm. And so I launched this campaign because I thought, well, we're coming out of lockdown, as I thought, I don't want to go back into the society I was in before because it isn't pleasant. And I don't want Arthur to have to grow up hearing this about himself. And in launching it, I would say now I probably hear inappropriate language maybe once every 2 weeks.
Right,
and it
okay,
was daily.
Yeah.
It was daily. It shows how quickly a change can happen when people just make a little bit of effort. And it's only a little bit of effort. And obviously they make it because they care about me and Arthur. I think all of society can make it.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, like you said, those cards and everything that you're doing around the language is starting to do that. Can you just expand a little bit about what's actually on those cards? Like you said, the difference they're starting to make.
Yeah, so I created the cards. There are 11 social media cards, but you can also, they're all housed on a website. So you can go into the resources section. So they're free to download. So, and they're all in printable quality. So you could download and print. You could share on your social media. I've also made posters. So there's posters that are print ink friendly because they're all bright and colourful. So that is obviously going to use your printer ink.
Yep.
So there's print ink friendly ones. There's ones for front of house that draw you into the website. There's ones that are more informational, more words on them, and they're all free. It's all free and always will be.
Brilliant.
So there's 11 cards and they're made up of really what I hear the most. I created them because I think we need to know what not to say in order to know what to say. So I created them with the things I hear the most, and then they've got a line through them, because I also think in the psychology of being a human, if we read something, we sometimes hold on to it. But because we all grow up having, like, you know, going to school and having lines through things, or, you know, probably not anymore, but we know that that isn't what not to remember. So the side, this is what you don't remember, but what you say. And then next to it, right next to it, is this is what would be better to say. And then a little underneath, a couple of sentences just explaining why. So I've got a top three, actually. Okay. I'll talk about my
Let's hear it. Yeah, yeah.
If I can. Well, actually, and a fourth. I'll talk about a fourth. So my top three. Oh, no, and a fifth. Okay. They're all important to me.
That's fine. Yeah, let's go.
My top three is person first. It's really, for me, it's really important that Arthur is as a human. As I said at the very beginning when I talked to you, he is joyful. He is funny. He's my friend. He's my son. And he has Down syndrome. He isn't Down. He's not defined by his Down syndrome. And that's actually a massive gift that Arthur's given me, is that I am, because of Arthur, probably less judgmental about entire society. He's opened a door to me that I have become more accepting, more graceful, more loving for everyone.
Yeah.
So rather than writing anyone off, be it gender, age, disability, anything, I see the human being, because that's all we are, essentially, human beings. And that's beautiful. So I'm like, thank you, Arthur. One card is that he is a baby who has Down syndrome. He's not a Down syndrome baby. So that's a big one.
Yeah.
Another one is, I hear a lot, and sometimes it's like people trying to be friendly would be, oh, Downsy, you've got Downsy. And it's not, it's Down syndrome. It's just Down syndrome. He's got Down syndrome. That's it. That's it. I can't. There's nothing more to say there, just Down syndrome.
Yep.
So, you know, I know it maybe is someone being friendly, but it's not. It's his syndrome. It's his stuff, you know. And then the other one is normal. So this one is the worst one that hurts the most, as they say, with a lot of medical professionals as well, with normal children. I say, well, he is normal. Is so normal. It's just not typical.
Yeah.
So you would say with normally developing children, that is it. He is normal. We're all normal. I'm trying to think. Oh, this is one. Okay. They are all. I get a lot of they do this, they do that. So it's almost like Arthur has been put into this stereotype of a they.
Yes.
Whereas every single human being is an individual. And I have got, I've got friends who've got children with Down syndrome who are exactly the same age as Arthur. And one of them is walking and Arthur isn't walking, but Arthur is speaking and signing and another child isn't. So you can't put a they out there. There is no they.
No.
So that is a real, like, oh, come on, my son is worth more than a collective they. It's Arthur.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. They. It's actually quite offensive, that. And this one's interesting. So this is one I don't hear often, but is said often. And this is one. So Arthur was diagnosed with Down syndrome at birth. And when I think back to my 12-week scan, the sonographer said to me, and I think back now and I can hear it so clearly, and at the time it didn't register, she said, it's fine. Looking at the nuchal fold, your baby has a very low risk of having Down syndrome, so it's okay. And I went away thinking, oh, great, he doesn't have Down syndrome. And then when he did have Down syndrome, I think back to that conversation, and I was told it's fine that he doesn't. So, oh, I've got my diagnosis. It must not be fine that he now does. Mm. It's okay he doesn't. Oh, it must now not be okay. There's a low risk. Oh, it's risky if he is. So I would suggest that everything, especially the medical professionals, needs to be impartial, because it's not their judgment to make. So you would just say there is a low chance. So chance is totally impartial.
Yeah.
And don't say it's fine, and don't say it's okay, because we don't know. And also, who's to say, at the time I hadn't met anyone with Down syndrome, but who is to say that she could have said that to me and I could have said, well, actually, I'm really happy if my child has Down syndrome.
Yep.
Because I've worked with people with Down syndrome, and then I would have been like, oh yeah, I don't know, we need to look at it in society. And I think that it's the unconscious bias, and it's coming at us in this drip feed of language. I mean, we've got big stories as well that I could go into about the abortion rate timeline that Heidi Krauter is taking to the high courts around that you can terminate a typical child at 24 weeks, but
yes,
with Down syndrome up till birth.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a big story. And there's obviously the storyline in Emmerdale. That's a big controversial story. However, I think these language cards, they are for everyone. Whatever your view on those two big points, because I know people have very strong views, whatever your view, these cards, there is no view. You just do it, because they're so straightforward, and they're for everyone, and they're celebratory, and they are, yeah, then they're not hard. They're 5 minutes of someone's time, a little thought, and that 5 minutes of one human being's time will have a lifetime impact.
Exciting. And you've said so much there. You've covered loads of different kind of things that I know young people come up with all the time as well, especially the they word. I think, as you said, that can be very demoralizing, and almost like you say, making everybody the same with, you know, whatever their difference might be, and actually saying, you know, you must all do this or all do that. And actually, we know that it's very different, even when we talk about things like autism or whatever we might be talking about. So because you've just mentioned it, I did want to talk about, and not in too much detail, because as you said, it does very much split opinion, and we could do a whole podcast just about this. But I did want to ask you about the abortion and kind of the way it sits right now. As a mum with Arthur, who has Down syndrome, what are your views on it?
The Heidi Krauter's case.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
My views are that we are talking about equality and diversity in life, and we are recognizing that in life. So why can't we recognize that in the womb? Why should it be that a baby at 24 weeks who is typical past then is not allowed to be aborted? Yeah, a baby with Down syndrome right until it can enter that birth canal can be. And, you know, we've all seen that picture, well, if we haven't, you know, of the embryo growing and then the next week and then the next week. It's a human being. It's a ready human being at 38, 39, 40 weeks. It's ready and feels very strange. And also, what message is that telling Arthur as he grows up, that he's not as valid? What's he telling him? And what is it telling society? I think it's a really scary, scary thing. And I don't quite understand why it's there. I mean, I know I have listened to all the views. I have listened to the other views, but I'm definitely of the view that it isn't really acceptable. Not even really, it isn't acceptable. Heidi has Down syndrome and is taking the government, you know, to court. And one of my medical consultants said to me, another thing I couldn't believe, oh, well, you're really lucky because my children have grown up and gone away and you have a child forever.
Wow. That was a medical professional, did you say? You said that.
One of my consultants. And I kind of think, I mean, how do you unpick that? Because if you told Heidi Krauter she's a child forever, or if you told the gentleman who was talking at the Senate that they are children, really, really rude.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like you, Becca. I mean, because I work in special education, I do keep, you know, an eye on all of these things. And I'm not just saying it because I'm talking to you now. I'm certainly in the viewpoint that you share for the reason you mentioned. What message does it send to people with Down syndrome to say almost as if their life is not worth as much as somebody else, or, you know, we don't see them as equal because, and I cannot understand it at all. And I really do hope that that lady is successful with everything she's doing.
Yeah, what an amazing woman. Yeah,
and absolutely.
It's really, and then with this Emmerdale storyline coming up as well, I think the big thing, the big upset in the Down syndrome community is that they chose Down syndrome. So I understand women's choice. You know, I'm a feminist. I understand that they chose Down syndrome. So that's the difficult thing. They could have chose a genetic condition. That child wouldn't survive, wouldn't be able to survive in birth.
Yeah.
You know, but Down syndrome, there's not, is, like, it's not really, like I said, there's not much difference.
No.
So why? And it's, what is that telling all the families that watch it, all the children with Down syndrome that watch that show? And I think most scary, the people like me a year ago who might have watched that and thought, oh yeah, pro women's rights, I understand her choice, and been on the other side because I've never met Arthur, I didn't know anything about Down syndrome, and I would have taken that choice thinking, yeah, feminist, it's about women's rights. It's not about women's rights.
No,
that's what's so scary. It's not, it's about having Down syndrome and making that decision to terminate. And all of that is quite damaging.
I think, as we said at the start as well, we're trying to, you know, share positivity in this podcast and everything we're doing. And I guess that's our only hope, is that through a storyline like that, it does bring it more to, you know, the media attention. And then more people like yourself and me and others who feel very strongly can then express that. And actually maybe more people start to understand a little bit more.
Yeah, and that is a really, and I think I try, and that's with the cards as well. I always try and look at the possibility and the opportunity that everything brings and what these cards have brought to me. And also, you know, now I've got Arthur, not only have I got Arthur, he's also given me a national campaign from the BBC. A lot of people came to me and said, this would be so great in French, this would be so great in German. And I said, absolutely, you know, but I've self-funded this whole thing and I don't know anyone in those countries. So obviously language is so important. I can't translate them into French because I don't speak French, and on top of that it can't just be a direct translation. So then that was at BBC, so I had all these people coming in and I was looking at angles, but I didn't know how. Then I did a piece on ITV and a translating company from London got in touch and said, we'll translate them into all the languages that 90% of the world will be able to
understand.
Yeah, for free, to help me, professional. They're called Byword and they're based in London, Great Portland Street. And they said, we'll translate them all, but we'll do a thing called transcreation, which I'd never heard of, which is essentially taking the message and translating that. So you don't do word for word, you do, which is exactly what we need.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's incredible. So
now that's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it? So now I just need to find the money to pay the graphic designers who put them on the website and get them in that format. And then it's global.
Wow.
So that's exciting, isn't it?
That's really exciting. And I know just from looking at our downloads actually through the podcast, you know, we're not hitting millions, but we are getting downloads in lots of different countries. So I hope if you listen to this, like you start to look into what Becca's doing. So there's a couple more things I just wanted to come to. I read a bit about an open letter that you'd written to your family talking about Arthur. And there was a line in there that I just wanted to bring up and lead with a question. You wrote, I have witnessed my world through a new lens. My question to you is, how do we get other people to start to look through that lens? And if we're looking at schools, why is it important that we also start to bring this into schools with children as well? So kind of a two-part question there.
Yeah, okay. So my open letter, it was to my friend. Actually, my family I speak to, and they've supported me with all of this. So it was more to my friends, and it was kind of the first step to the cards, because it was really scary, because to stand up and speak out was hard at the beginning. And now I'm getting I'm getting into it and getting my step on. And the response was so positive that I thought, oh, this has worked. Why don't I do cards for my community? Then I thought, well, they've helped my community, so I moved them into, why don't I do all the charities that support people who have children with Down syndrome? So then I did that. And then I thought all society, and now I'm going global. So that's where the open letter came from. Why I think it's so important with children is, firstly, children are amazing. Children are open. They don't have judgment. They are pure, rich souls. And they have the most beautiful, naive, caring, compassionate eyes. They don't, for me, in my experience, children don't see anything, like they don't see a difference. They just see you as a human. And that's, I mean, we've got a lot to learn from that as adults. So that's the first thing. And I also think if you then educate children, you're educating your future. They are the most important children, you know. And then looking at through a new lens, oh, that's a big question, because if I knew the direct answer to that, then we wouldn't even have something that we needed to change. I guess it's about empathy and it's about compassion and it's about trying to, if you haven't got lived experience of having a child with Down syndrome, it's about trying to put yourself in the place of that mum or of that dad and think, or of that child and think, how would that make me feel? It makes a real difference, though, when someone does do it.
I think you've explained a roundabout way, though, and it is certainly about empathy. And just going back to kind of what you said, like nobody is born with discrimination in their minds. The more we can do to educate, to provide, you know, support around language, everything that you're doing, I think is so, so important. So, Becca, I know there's going to be a lot of people listening to this that are going to be really interested to go and find out more about the cards and access them. Can you just say again, like the website and exactly how they can go and do that?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. It's called languagecreatesreality.com. Just put it in and the website comes up, and then it's real bright coloured. You can scroll down through all the cards and just see them. And then at the very bottom, there's a resources section. You can just click straight down to resources. And in there, on the top left, it will say social media cards. I think I've put in. They're the 11 cards. They're the key 11 messages, and they look like Polaroids. So they're Polaroid sizes, and they're all bright colors, and they are made to fit Instagram or Facebook, really. That's brilliant. How they're made.
Fantastic. And I know speaking with young people, that's the way that they go a lot of the time now. That's how they get a lot of their information. So the fact that that's been thought about as well, I think, is brilliant. So Becca, I just want to thank you so much. I mean, even separate doing the podcast, we've had a really good conversation this morning. And we'll definitely keep in touch, and I'll be sharing far and wide everything that you're doing, and just best of luck with what you're trying to achieve.
Thanks ever so much. Yeah, thanks for the time to be on here. And thank you to everyone that's listening. And my last thing to everyone that's listening is, please just take 5 minutes of your life to look at these cards, because it will have a lifetime impact.
Brilliant. Thank you, Becca.
The Maze and Cultures to Parent Support Group are sponsoring this series of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. We offer support for families of children and young people with special educational needs in the Colchester area. To learn more and get in touch, please visit the Maze website, themazegroup.co.uk.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.